my childhood was an adventure every single day. But unfortunately, my parents' marriage started to fall apart, my entire world. I think that you have to find your superpower. I don't think we're born with it. I think it's something we need to find within ourselves. And that's kind of the process that I underwent when I found some old rusty weights in my father's shed in the backyard. I dug those out, sanded them, painted them, and set up in my parents' basement. I found solace in those weights and just started lifting them and building all this muscle and armor, as I like to refer to it, to more or less protect myself. When my parents were fighting, it was very, very tough on all three kids. Unfortunately, my sister coped with that stress by eating her emotions. My brother did the most innocent thing a child could do in the world and blamed himself. And I took on a role of protector, if you will. So as the eldest male, I started to lift weights and try to fill that father figure void in the family, which of course, you know, a kid, child is not equipped to do. So I got really jacked. At 13, 14 years old, I began putting on muscle all naturally, of course. I didn't go to class, but I did spend a lot of time in that gym learning the fundamentals about weight, you know, all the different weight training principles and what have you. So that's where I really started to harness a lot of invaluable work ethic and principles and values and things like that.
Heroes are an inspiring group of people. Every one of them, from the larger-than-life comic book heroes you see on the big silver screen, to everyday heroes that let us live the privileged lives we do. Every hero has a story to tell. From the doctor saving lives at your local hospital, to the war veteran down the street who risked his life for our freedom, to the police officers and the firefighters who risk their safety to ensure ours. Every hero is special and every story worth telling. But there is one class of heroes that I think is often ignored. The entrepreneur, the creator, the producer. The ones who look at the problems in this world and think to themselves, you know what? I can fix that. I can help people. I can make a difference. Then they go out and do exactly that by creating a new product or introducing a new service. Some go on to change the world. Others make a world of difference to their customers. Welcome to the Hero Show. Join us as we pull back the masks on the world's finest heropreneurs and learn the secrets to their powers, their success, and their influence, so you can use those secrets to attract more sales, make more money, and experience more freedom in your business. I'm your host, Richard Matthews, and we are on in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome back to the Hero Show. My name is Richard Matthews, and today I have live on the line with me Jesse Benson. Jesse, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Richard.
Awesome. Glad to have you here, Jesse. I know we've chatted a couple of times before. You run a really cool company. We'll get to talk about a little bit more here, but I always like to start off before we get into anything. Where are you calling in from? Where's home?
Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So we're over on the West Coast.
Yeah, my understanding is British Columbia, the Vancouver area, is very, very nice from a weather standpoint. Like, it's like Southern California, except on north of the border.
It's tropical. We get lots of rain, but we also get lots of sun. But everything here is very, very green. It's beautiful. Mountains, every single sport you can think of, it's all here. So
yeah. And you guys are just on the other side of the I'm gonna forget the name of them, all the islands that are there.
There's a ton of islands. So we've got Victoria Island, which is it's a big island. It's bigger than Japan. Like, it's a massive island. It's kind of a nice shield that we've got over on that west coast, and some of the most beautiful hiking trails you've ever seen. It's definitely a spot. If people can make their way out here, it's worth the trip.
Awesome. Yeah, I know Canada's got it's definitely a really cool place. And we haven't got a chance to go over the border in our travels, because every time we've tried, it was all during like the COVID season and a couple of years after. So we couldn't get in. But we spent a couple of times going through like the international parks. So we got to go in and over up there. I'm really looking forward to get up there and trying what, if I'm understanding correctly, are the best donuts in the world.
Yeah. We've got several friends of ours own a donut shop called Lee's Donut, and they're franchising, and they've got amazing, actually these things have got lineups like every single day. So
like Krispy Kreme down here in the States.
Yep.
Awesome. So before we get too much further, I want to do a short bio for you so our listeners know who you are. So I'll go through that real quickly and then we'll dive into your story. So Jesse Benson is a renowned figure in the fitness and wellness industry. He's the owner of Fit Integrated Wellness and the National Personal Training Academy, the NPTA. In 2024, Jesse was honored as Canada's top fitness trainer in the whole country, which is pretty cool. Testament to his dedication and expertise. Additionally, Jesse celebrated for his athletic prowess, having claimed the title of hard enduro champion in 2022. Through his leadership at Fit Integrated Wellness and NPTA, Jesse has transformed the landscape of fitness education and training, inspiring individuals to pursue healthier lifestyles and achieve their fitness goals. His passion for wellness and his commitment to excellence continue to leave an indelible mark on the industry and those that he serves. So with that introduction, Jesse, what I want to do is start off with what you're known for now, right? Really sets up who you are and what your business is like now. So basically what I want to know is, who do you serve? What do you do for them?
Yeah, so thanks, Richard. So now what I'm serving mainly is trainers. I'm mentoring. That's what I'm spending most of my time doing now that I've more or less retired from the client-facing training side. I completed over 50,000 30-minute training sessions, more than anyone in North America. So I've reached a high level of mastery there. And now I'm just really glad that I get to work hands-on with trainers, primarily empowering them so that they in turn can empower others and I can have a greater impact and reach that way. So now I'm, you could say that I am a mentor and I'm doing a lot of things on the business side. So opening new businesses and expanding things that way.
So 50,000 training sessions.
Yes, 50,000 30-minute training sessions, more than anyone on the planet, possibly the universe. We don't, that's not confirmed, but I have done a ton of personal training.
That's an insane amount of training sessions. Just out of curiosity, what kind of training is it? Is it weight loss, strength training, or all of the above? Like what martial arts, like where are your sort of areas that you train in?
Yeah, my craft is the 30-minute training model. So that I more or less created, and it's HIIT primarily. So high intensity interval training is what I would most refer to it as. However, once you reach a level of mastery, like that 10,000 hour type thing, you start to rely more and more on your instincts, more and more on your intuition, and you're able to effectively tailor an experience for each and every client, given their unique challenges, goals, likes, dislikes, injuries, etc. And so you're almost basing the workout more on feel, as crazy as that sounds. But again, that's the type of thing that can be done once you've attained that level of mastery.
Yeah. And then I know you mentioned you sort of switched from being the personal trainer to training other trainers, which is what you do now. And so talk about that for a little bit. What is the difference there and why are you doing that?
Yeah, so we're starting to certify trainers. So we are NASMs. There's several certification bodies out there, NASM being one of the largest. They're based out of the US, but we're their official Canadian partners. What this means is that we've got distribution rights to all of Canada. And so we certify trainers, hundreds of trainers, and aspire and soon thousands of trainers across this country, empowering them with the latest and greatest in education and tools and opportunities to reach more Canadians. You could refer to them as heroes in the making. Each trainer over the course of their career, on average, will impact up to 500 lives. So National Personal Training Academy's goal here is to impact 1 million Canadian lives. And when I set out on this goal, I quickly did the math and realized, wow, like, I can't do this alone. I need to obviously empower others.
Yeah, you need about 2,000 trainers or so that you've trained.
That's correct. Yeah.
So how many trainers do you guys have now, just out of curiosity?
So out of our physical gym locations, we've got about, at one location, we've got about just under 15. The other one, we've got 3 currently. We've just opened that facility, but we're aspiring to expand online. This is where the opportunity truly lies. But we're certifying, again, trainers across Canada. So we're certifying them in every single province. And from there, they can continue on their own path and careers, or they can go ahead and join any one of our career opportunities that we offer as well.
Yeah. So you got your work cut out for you if you're going to get to 2,000 trainers over the next few years.
I do. Yeah. That is one thing that I am very good at is working.
So what I want to go over next then is your origin story, right? Every good comic book hero has an origin story. It's the thing that made them into the hero they are today. And we want to hear your story. Were you born a hero, or were you bit by a radioactive spider that made you want to get into the, you know, personal training business? Or, you know, did you start out on a job and eventually become an entrepreneur? Basically, where did you come from?
I came from a small rural town community called Timmins, Ontario. It's a boom and bust town, mining, forestry. You might know this country singer, Shania Twain.
I love Shania.
So Shania was, she got the key to the city. She was actually born in our hometown, and we had a museum there for her and everything else and whatnot. So it was a great place to grow up. I would not trade it for anything in the world. My childhood was an adventure every single day. But unfortunately, my parents' marriage started to fall apart, my entire world. And I fell into kind of, well, there's only so many ways that you can respond to adversity, right? I think that you have to find your superpower. And I don't think we're necessary. My personal opinion is I don't think it's innate. I don't think we're born with it. I think it's something we need to find within ourselves. And that's kind of the process that I underwent when I found some old rusted weights in my father's shed in the backyard. I dug those out, sanded them, painted them, and set up in my parents' basement. So while they were arguing and fighting upstairs, I found solace in those weights and just started lifting them and building all this muscle and armor, as I like to refer to it, to more or less protect myself. When my parents were fighting, it was very, very tough on all three kids, my brother and sister included. Unfortunately, my sister coped with that stress by eating her emotions. My brother did the most innocent thing a child could do in the world and blamed himself. And I took on a role of protector, if you will. So as the eldest male, I started to lift weights and try to fill that father figure void in the family, which of course, you know, is not equipped to do. But that was what I made that attempt. So I got really jacked. At 13, 14 years old, I began putting on muscle all naturally, of course. I didn't go to class, but I did spend a lot of time in that gym learning the fundamentals about weight, you know, all the different weight training principles and what have you. So that's where I really started to harness a lot of invaluable work ethic and principles and values and things like that, all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And I know, especially at like 13, 14, mostly because I have a 14-year-old son that we're working out together, and watching him, like, just his transformation over the last year has been impressive. And we've just been doing martial arts training, which is a lot of calisthenics and bodyweight training. And, you know, he's rippling, right? I have like 30 years of decisions to overcome, but he's just like rippling with muscle because he started at that age.
That's awesome. And there's never a too young an age. I always say, like, the earlier, the better. The whole, I think it's a misconception when it comes to like stunting growth and all these types of misconceptions. I think it's completely safe for youth to get into weight training. It's so awesome that you guys are doing that together. I think that's also very, very cool. And when it comes to building muscle, on one hand, it can be extremely complicated. It's like this big black box. There's so much conflicting information these days. Whereas, you know, you keep it really simple. If your son's eating, he's sleeping, he's working out, then that muscle will surely, you know, he'll keep rippling up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you started doing your weight training as a young teen. When did you start to become a trainer?
Yeah, I became a trainer when I was 19 years old, when I moved out west to Vancouver, which is Canada's fitness capital of Canada. Unfortunately, in Shania Twain Town, there wasn't much opportunity for personal trainers at that time. But I knew that was something I wanted to do, given that I was actively involved in my local high schools with the training programs. I was constantly in the gym helping other guys out and honing in on those skills. And there just was no opportunity there. So I had to make the move and come out west. And that's where I landed a construction job and then eventually worked my way up at a local facility in Vancouver. I started at the very bottom of the ladder with toilets and towels, which turned out to be an absolute advantage and blessing in disguise, given that I had ownership was going to be an option for me in the future. So that really did help me set myself up for long-term success.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's also funny, you grew up in Shania Twain Town. You look like you're about the same age as I was. Shania Twain was my teenage crush, so.
I'm sure she has a lot of teenage crushes. Yeah, she's a great singer.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite thing about Shania Twain, other than like her meteoric success, was that like she hit the top of her game and then she was just like, I'm out. I'm going to go raise my kids. And like, that's just the coolest thing ever.
100,000% agree. You know, most important job in the world, be a good parent, good mother, father. So
yeah, kudos to her. I heard rumors that her kids are now officially grown. She's going to come back into the music scene shortly, is my understanding. So,
oh, that'd be awesome.
Which would be cool. Have her back. Maybe get a new album or something. But yeah. So what I want to talk about next then is your superpowers, right? That you've developed over the course of your career, right? Every iconic hero has a superpower, whether that's, you know, a fancy flying suit made by your genius intellect, the ability to call down thunder from the sky, or maybe in your case, you know, giant muscles, right? Super strength. In the real world, heroes have what I call a zone of genius, which is either a skill or a set of skills that you were born with or you developed over the course of your career that really energize everything else that you do. And the way I like to frame this superpower is if you look at everything, all the skills that you developed over the course of your career, there's probably a common thread that sort of ties all those skills together that have allowed you to build what you've built so far. And so with that framing, what do you think your superpower is?
Well, I'm just going to flat out come out and start here and say calm, a sense of calm. So when the pandemic hit, and I had already gone through a ton of adversity from relocating facilities, opening facilities, what have you. But when the pandemic hit, it was kind of like everything was being thrown at me. Like every single type of adversity was getting thrown at me. And I pulled the whole team aside and I said, okay, guys, what's the one thing you're all going to contribute here? You know, the world might be coming to an end, possibly. We might have to close the gym. We might have to lose people on the team, our clients. We don't know what's going to happen with them. And I had a whole bunch of other things on my plate at the time as well. I was undergoing a divorce. My father was passing away. You name it. It was happening. It was my storm. And the one thing I said I was going to contribute to the team and everyone was a sense of calm. Because as a leader, or superhero in this case, if I'm panicking, if I'm freaking out, what stability can I offer anyone else, right? And so I knew instinctively that I had to be that sense of calm and foundation or reason for everyone if we were going to get through this thing.
Yeah, that calm in the middle of the storm kind of thing. It reminds me of that. I know it's been going viral over the past couple of months, but the, you know, the fastest way through the storm and the bison are those creatures that like they stand and they just face the storm and they just walk into it because they know the fastest way through the storm is straight through. Yeah. And it takes a special kind of person to be able to just stand in the face of adversity and be like, nope, we're going to keep doing what we're doing.
Absolutely. And I think with that is an accumulation of many battle scars and things that you've overcome in the past. And with time, obviously, that's where that skill can more or less be honed in on. And it's something that I've just always had. It's just I'm able to stay calm. And I think in a world today that's just filled with anxiety, it's filled with stress and mental health issues, calm 2024 is actually, I think, can be considered a superpower.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's also true, right? Like, yeah. It reminds me of a story. My wife and I travel full time with, you know, our audience would know because, you know, we always mention where we're at on our podcasts. And one of the things that's interesting about the traveling full time is that, like, shit breaks all the time, like, just in the most inopportune times and, like, all sorts of problems. And so much so that like we actually named our YouTube channel about our travels Days Without Incident, Rick, and the number is always zero. It's always 0 days without incident. Someone's always injured. Something's always broken. But if we go back like 7 years when we started traveling, the first couple of times that things broke, it was like major stress. And there's all these like problems trying to figure out how to do all this stuff. And it would like mess up all of your schedules and all of your planning and all this other stuff. And it would just, you know, it would ruin the week sometimes or maybe a couple of weeks as you're trying to figure things out. And then this last, you know, we've been doing it for so long now that like this last big long trip we did over the winter, we like on the side of the road, we had like our awning ripped off the side of our RV while we were driving down the freeway. And then at the same time, the water pump broke on our engine. And so our engine is just pouring radiator fluid out on the whole thing. And we didn't even lose 4 hours. Like we had the engine fixed, we had the awning off, we had everything back up. We made it to our destination a couple of hours late, but we didn't have to change anything. And like my wife and I were laughing about it afterwards. We're like, 7 years ago, us would have just been ruined by that. And it was like, and we've got so much experience just being calm in the face of these things that we just took care of it. We got it done. We moved on. We got the engine fixed. We moved the things, and just at the end of the day, and it does feel like a superpower. right? To be able to just face the kind of adversities that would stop a lot of other people who are, you know, fellow travelers doing those kind of things, to just not even have it be barely a bump in the road.
Exactly. I love it. I love that you guys were able to just roll with it. You're right. Like, everyone else could have been completely derailed and turned the whole thing around, trips over. And you guys, like you said, it was hardly even a bump in the road, despite pretty much every single thing that could go wrong went wrong. So
yeah,
sounds like a good one. And it takes a really good partner for that as well. It sounds like you've got a good one in your wife.
I do. My wife's amazing. But yeah, it's definitely a superpower to be able to stay calm in spite of all the things that are going on. And, you know, I know this show is focused a lot on entrepreneurship, and it's a thing that happens all the time in business. And I'm sure you've got plenty of stories about this, but like, it seems like every single day or every single week, you're like, there's something new that's breaking, or you achieve a new level of success, and that new level of success comes with a whole new set of problems you don't know anything about. And you're like, well, I guess we got a whole new set of things to learn.
It is 100% about attitude and how we choose to look at these things, and whether or not we are able to recognize the opportunity in problems or challenges. Like, I just see every single problem as an opportunity. You try to keep super positive about it. My dad was really good about keeping positive mindset, and, you know, I think we just got to keep going. That's the goal.
Keep going. What is it? I'm going to forget his name. The guy from World War II. Never, ever, 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 ever give up. Winston Churchill. It's one of my favorite quotes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, that's one thing we can't do, right? There's a million other options. So,
yeah. So let's talk about the flip side then of your fatal flaw, right? Every fatal flaw has, or every superpower is their fatal flaw, right? Just like Superman has his kryptonite, or Wonder Woman can't remove her bracelets of victory without going mad. You probably have something that's held you back in your business, something you struggled with. For me, it was perfectionism, right? And I still, to this day, sometimes I struggle with, like, hey, you know, we can make it more better before we ship it to the public or use it in the team or whatever. And that's kept me from, you know, actually shipping stuff and getting it out. But I think more important than what your flaw is how have you worked to overcome it so that you can continue to grow your brand?
Yeah, good one. I would say one of my fatal flaws, like I alluded to earlier, is I just barely finished school. I barely finished high school. I never went to college, university. Not saying that that is like the way to go, but I never really learned to write. The power of the pen, I think, is critical. And the power to communicate your thoughts effectively to others, I think, is a very, very powerful skill that unfortunately I didn't develop early on. The people who have this skill, I think, are able to move up ladders very, very quickly. They can take on leadership roles, management roles very, very well. People can't read our minds, unfortunately. And this forces us to be able to effectively communicate through mediums like writing and these types of things. So French being my first language, and then English. I lost French, never really got good at English. It kind of left me at a weak point there. And I strongly believe we're only as strong as our weakest link. That's one of my philosophies in training and in life in general. And so, yeah, shoring that up has been very, very tough. But thanks to AI and ChatGPT and all these wonderful new
language superpowers,
tools, I've been able to express myself much, much, much better and get things out much more efficiently, much more. And that is just, having anything bottled up inside us, I think it's just the worst. And so being able to just flush out all of those thoughts and ideas and be able to better communicate that across all of my different teams has been awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely a superpower, and I could see not having it being a thing that you struggle with, because one of the things I tell my kids all the time, I got four of them, and my oldest one is, you know, he's 14. So he's in the point where he's like writing essays and doing other things like that. I'm like, listen, if you could, the most developable superpower in the world is your ability to communicate, right? Because you can learn to speak, you can learn to write, you can learn all these things. It's a learnable skill. And, you know, not all superpowers are like that, right? Like empathy, and, you know, there's a lot of other things that are like, they're easier if they're innate, if like they're a skill that you have as part of like who you are. But communication is one of those that, like, we all start off not being able to speak and communicate. So communication is exclusively a learned skill. And being an exclusively learned skill means that you can work on it and you can improve it. And the more you do it, the better, like, the more superpower you get out of it, right? The more powerful it becomes in your life.
Absolutely. When you combine all of those things, like you said, just that awareness and understanding alone, because I've always seen the greatest thing on this planet is the collective mind. And it's something that I was put onto a couple of years ago, where it's like, hey, the more diverse the group, the more differently we all think. But if we're all aligned and working very much towards the same goal, it's incredible what can happen. And so tapping into that collective mind, understanding how it works. It's not a super brain. At the end of the day, it's not just this super brain that's going to figure out every single problem in the world or in the organization or team. It's really harnessing the power of that collective mind that's always seen me through and been able to help me get, you know, from A to B, or like you said, to that next level. And I find it way more fascinating than just trying to go it alone, figure everything out.
And it's fascinating too. You brought up some of like the AI tools that are coming out that really help with communication. Mm-hmm. And like I one of my favorite things has been I started letting my son play with them and using them for school and using them for work and stuff like that. And so him and his best buddy have been writing novels using ChatGPT, and it's really, and we, you know, just teach him how to use it. So it's actually producing like stuff that he wants for it. And gotten to read some of his stories that they put together, and you can definitely tell we've got a couple of, you know, 13, 14 year old boys with a wild, cool imagination with all the things that they're coming up with, that have access to language capabilities that are years beyond where they're like, where their peers are, because of the AI tools. And that's really cool, because it's like you were talking about, it's like an unlock, right? Where you have access to communication skills that you previously would have been years of study to get to, right? And years of work. And so it's like making communication as a superpower something that is more accessible to more people, which can only improve the world.
Absolutely, it can. And you know, as we get to learn these tools and further engage with them and everything, it's, from my understanding, it's like the internet's reversed itself. So once upon a time, we went to the internet for information. It's now coming to us for that information. So I think the value that people now need to bring, because even personal training landscape is going to completely change. Like I actually see it in the next 2 to 3 years, online personal training, that's going to be an avatar. It's going to be able to correct form. It's going to remember what you ate the day before. Like it's going to change the entire fitness landscape. And so we need to really understand it, where it's going, how to use it, and how we're going to effectively engage with it, and where the value comes from. And what I'm seeing is it actually comes from the instruction side, from the educational side, with the cost of living going up, groceries being $50 to $100 per bag. What we're going to be seeing now is trainers offering more instructions. We're looking at fitness scholarships. Clients would come to us and say, you know what, I don't want to think, tell me what to do, show me how to do it, and I'll pay you whatever your fee is, right? That was kind of personal training 101. You can almost refer to that as like back in the day now, or pre-AI or pre all this stuff. In the future, it's going to be very much like, hey, show me how to do this, and I'm going to do it I'll keep doing it myself. So
yeah,
I think the clients are ready, willing, and eager to learn, which is fairly new.
The thing that's blown me away is just the technology we have available now. Like I mentioned earlier, my son and I are doing martial arts training. We're doing that virtually, right? Like,
oh, cool.
I have only met my trainer in person one time 2 years ago, and we get on and do our training over video chat 4 days a week, and, you know, using a camera and a little tripod, and we train together as we travel, which is crazy. And it's just, the access to technology and stuff is changing the landscape for what is possible. Because, you know, 5 years ago, even if you wanted to, you know, in my case, we're doing martial arts, your martial arts training options are the ones that are, you know, within driving distance of your house. And, you know, we have a martial arts trainer who's an 8 times world champion, right? Like, like you can just work with the best of the best because of the technology.
So cool. Yeah, we're still 40% online ourselves, and we're looking to expand that. Again, we're aspiring to become Canada's most affordable online training option, and we're going to make it as little as $20, right? And make it actually accessible to people. $20, 30 minutes, who doesn't have that? So, and we're going to try to make it even cheaper from there. I actually see a subscription model being possible online. And really, yeah, it's just making it more accessible to people, like what you guys are doing. I think it's great.
Absolutely. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about your common enemy, right? Every superhero has an arch nemesis, the thing that you constantly have to fight against in your world, right? So in the world of business, it takes on a lot of forms, but generally speaking, we like to put it in the context of your clients, right? The people that come to you to, you know, in this case, you know, learn their personal training. And it's a mindset or a flaw that you constantly have to fight to overcome so you can actually get them the result that they came to you for in the first place. And I guess with your business, since you actually serve two different avatars, right? You serve the people who are wanting to become trainers and you serve the people who are wanting to be trained. Maybe you could talk a little about like what's your common enemy with both of those camps.
Yeah, good observation, Richard. You're right. We do service both sides. So on the client side, unfortunately, we have got these little forms that people fill out when they come to the gym. And most gyms have them. So it's like your first name, last name, phone number, email. And then we've got a little line there, a little question that says your fitness goal. And what everybody puts down as their fitness goal is just the most vague, kind of like the lowest bar. They don't want to like the expectation that they can set. And everyone just says, get fit. That's what you're going to see. 9 times out of 10, what's your fitness goal? I don't know. I guess it's just to get fit. And really what that person is saying is that they've tried a bunch of times. They don't want to set themselves up for failure again. They don't even want to get their hopes up. They just want to go in there with the minimal amount of expectation and hopefully get fit, whatever that means, right? And unfortunately, that mindset is set into place for several reasons, but we have to inspire these guys. Like the root of motivation, at its root, motivation, you will find one of two things, either inspiration or desperation. Both equally powerful, which I find interesting. Like desperation will drive a mother or person to do just about anything. If you're starving, you know, for your child, you would do anything. But inspiration is equally powerful. And perhaps this is what ties into the training side of things. On the trainer side is that we have to inspire our clients,
yeah.
Right? We need to inspire them. Like we can't just, the bar just can't be set that they're coming to the gym and they feel safe and they're getting fit. We couldn't lower the bar any more than that.
Yeah. That's like the minimum required to show up.
And yet I think unfortunately today it's actually viewed as the biggest win that we could have, right? Is that people have showed up, they're 1% better, they feel safe, and that's the goal. And that's the highest thing that we can achieve in the facility and in the gym together. And I just think that that is just overall really sad at the end of the day.
So it reminds me, you know, because I mentioned we're working with our martial arts trainer and he asked the same question, which I imagine is similar. He's like, what's your goal with your fitness and all of this? And I remember my response because it was really like I had thought about it ahead of time because I knew they were going to ask because, you know, the fitness people always ask, like, what's your goal? And I thought about it for a while and I still think about it all the time. And because it's what makes me want to continue putting in the effort. And it's a lot of effort. And the effort just continues to get more, the stronger and more fit you get. You're like, the effort doesn't go down. So you have to have that inspiration. And for me, it was, I want to be fit and young forever. And what that actually means for me is like at this point in time, I've got one teenager and three more coming up. I want to be able to keep up with them, right? You know, we want to learn to windsurf and we want to go sailing around the world and we want to hike all over the place. Like I want to be able to not just keep up with my kids, but enjoy the adventures that we get to have. And, you know, we push ourselves 10 years into the future. I'm going to have grandkids. I want the same thing. I want to be able to keep up with them. And I feel like getting old is a choice and it's a choice I don't want to make, right? I want to do the other thing, right? I want to be fit as long as possible and be able to, you know, maybe not Jack DeLane level of like swimming the English Channel when I'm 90, but like if I wanted to, I could.
Fitness goal, be Jack DeLane. You know? Oh, I love that. It's got longevity written all over it. You're doing it for all the right reasons. You're going to be an inspiration to your children, your boys, your girls. I absolutely love that goal. And of course, you know, getting fit, it's just the start line, right?
Yeah.
It's not the finish line. It's the start line. And the hardest part isn't getting fit. It's not losing 10 pounds or gaining 10 pounds of muscle. That's not hard. As hard as we might think it is, the real challenge is doing it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a very common misconception is that we all think that, okay, I started this new fitness program, I started this new thing, I got this new membership, and I'm just going to do it forever. Well, not how it's going to go. Like, if we play out this storyboard and this storyline, we play this movie out, that's not how it's going to go. In all reality, we're going to see it all, right? The honeymoon phase will run its course. It's not going to be fun, exciting anymore. And why are we doing this thing? And injury is going to happen. Sickness is going to happen. Life is going to happen. There's going to be all kinds of obstacles that we need to overcome, family, life obstacles. Like, it's all going to get thrown at us. And then what's going to happen to this new, fun, exciting fitness thing? Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's where the real thing starts. And what I always tell trainers is, like, look, just because our clients are no longer here, or they've taken a pause or a break, or they were forced, doesn't mean they're no longer a client. Doesn't mean the relationship is no longer there and we got to check in with them and care and all that kind of stuff. Because the fitness journey, it's not a straight line. It's not an A to B thing. It's up, down, backwards, and all over the place, right? And so that's where the fitness goal really comes into play. Is we got to drill really deep. We got to revisit that goal several times. We got to revisit that why several times.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know for me, one of the things I told our trainer was I wanted to change my identity, right? From being someone who, you know, I wasn't unfit per se. I was, like, accidentally fit, if that makes sense. Like, you know, I had good genes and lived a fairly active lifestyle, but I wasn't intentionally fit. And I was like, one of the things I want to change is I want my identity to shift towards someone who like knows how to take care of myself, how to teach myself to be and stay fit constantly. That, like, that just becomes the default or the baseline, so to speak. And so that it's not something that you come into and out of, right? Where like fitness is a thing that you do every once in a while, but like I said, the whole fit young for everything only happens if it becomes part of who you are. Right.
I like that. Yeah. I would totally agree that it needs to become, your identity makes perfect sense. And then also empowering yourself. Like, this is something that not a lot of people are aware of. The number one purchaser of certifications isn't personal trainers, isn't these like perfect beings or whatever. And those are the only people who become certified and learn this stuff, because fitness, doesn't matter what sport it is, it's a learning thing. It's not just a doing thing. It's not a sweat thing. It's a learning. Everything that we learn, you can't unlearn stuff, right? And so we're encouraging people, our clients, to become certified. In fact, I've helped two of my clients reach their highest potential that we could, right? It's not just do a pull up, a push up, but hey, what if you become a trainer, a leader yourself, right? And what if you get paid to help other people with this kind of stuff? That's one option. Then that becomes obviously a part of your identity, right? This is who I am. I live, I breathe, and not only do I do this stuff myself, but I also help others. One of the ways that we've done this is by Matt Devine. Is a local hero that we have here in Canada. He's cycled across Canada, 13,000 kilometers he cycled across Canada for charity 2 years ago, and he's doing it again. And we've sponsored him. Both my companies have sponsored him. So I refer to this guy as like the Terry Fox of 2024, nice. Right? He is literally doing 100 miles a day. It's going to take him over 120 days. And through everything you can imagine on these dangerous highways with his wife in tow in the van. And we're sponsoring him because right away we knew the alignment was there. We knew what he was doing was going to impact a lot of Canadian lives. We knew. And so we proposed this to him. He loved the idea. I said, hey, why don't you get certified? So picture this. While he's biking 13,000 kilometers across the biggest country in the world, he's also getting certified as a personal trainer to help inspire and empower other Canadians to do the same, to basically take health and fitness into their own hands, right? Not rely on all these external things, but actually learn the stuff themselves. And so his wife's doing the nutrition certification. And so she's doing all of his nutrition and nice. Supporting each other that way. And he's doing online training with one of our trainers across Canada, helping to offset all the cycling that he's doing and strengthening his pelvic floor and all these kinds of things that go into, you know, sitting on a bicycle seat for all those hours. So once Matt completes this 13,000 kilometer journey across Canada. He'll be a certified personal trainer, and he'll be able to start helping other Canadians with their health and fitness. And Matt, speaking of identity, was a 300-pound CEO.
Wow.
Who was going to die. His doctor told him, if you do not get your life right, you're going to die. Plain and simple. You choose. So he quit his high-paying CEO identity and started cycling and decided that he would cycle across Canada for charity.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love that story. And I love the idea of him becoming a trainer, because it's going, like, I imagine he'll get a lot of press attention, and seeing him sort of just take ownership of that and build it into his identity is really cool. And yeah, I think we're sort of on the precipice of making a major shift, at least in America and Canada and maybe some of the other English speaking countries that have gotten, I don't know what you say, over the last 50 years, you know, we've gotten a lot of fat and dumb and happy going on. And you know, we've got to make some shifts culturally towards fitness if we're going to survive and thrive.
Agreed. I agree on all fronts. And Matt's doing something really exciting. You know, his initiative is called Heroes Unleashed.
I like
right,
that.
Right, Rich? And so he's seeking out local heroes. And where's the best way places to find heroes? In the fitness industry. Right, these are people who have unlocked their inner superpowers. Not only are they able to care for themselves, but they're able to take on other people, help lift them up, right? And so he's seeking out people in every single province across Canada, putting on all these events, raising all this awareness and money for charity. The charity in which he's supporting is called Little Warriors for Abused Children, and that's another thing that, you know, we need the. There needs to be more people talking about. And so how can you not get behind a guy like Matt, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think makes a great segue into my next question, right? So if your common enemy is what you're fighting against, then your driving force is what you're fighting for, right? Just like Spider-Man fights to save New York, or Batman fights to save Gotham, or Google fights to index and categorize all the world's information. What is it that you're fighting for with your couple of companies, your mission, so to speak?
We're fighting for lots of things. Well, I think that we are fighting for all of those things that you said, like the enemy. What was the enemy that you just described?
So your common enemy that you talked about was the inspiration and not knowing, not building their identity in, and fitness being just a thing that they come and go from.
Yeah, but you mentioned that we were fighting against a lot of obesity.
Yeah.
And those things, right? And I think that's what we're fighting against. And what are we fighting for, right? We're fighting for Canada. We're fighting for families. We're fighting for the household. We're fighting for the future, especially like we go through to hire a personal trainer, to find a hero. Let's think about this. To find a hero, you know, how many heroes are there out there? Like if we had to put it into what percent of the population, right? Like when we hire a trainer, when we look for a hero, right, that's going to take on 100 of our clients and help them with their health and fitness. How many resumes do we have to go through? How many interviews do we need to conduct in order to find a hero? A lot, right? And that is what we're fighting against. That by creating these educational systems, platforms, and elevating the industry as a whole, like it's just the excellence is what we're trying to build on, because it is scary out there,
yeah,
right, on all fronts. And so that's what we're fighting against. It is not an easy task at all. And I don't think I'm alone in this, especially as an employer, but elevating anything in this world is not easy.
Yeah. It reminds me of like one of the things I've been thinking about lately, and it just goes right back to that identity thing we were talking about. And, you know, I know you're talking a lot about Canada, you know, I'm obviously American, but we have the same issue in that we are, with technology and health stuff that's happening, you know, the amount of time that people are living is getting longer and longer, but the amount of enjoyment they're getting out of their life is getting less and less. And it's because we're not capturing that identity of fitness from the youth, right? And I was like, I know I've heard this before, and you probably know way more about this than I do, but I have heard that it's significantly easier to stay fit your entire life if you get fit before you're 20. And we have generations of people that are moving into their retirement years that they can't keep up with their grandchildren. They can't get up and chase them around the backyard or their great grandchildren because they're just you know, they didn't do the work to take care of their bodies. And so we have brain problems and body problems. And sure, you live an extra 30 years, but it's 30 years that you can't do anything. And man, if you can change that, if you can change that for the next generation, that's a big goal.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It does start with the kids. But it also starts with the parents, the home, all of it. The sooner you build that foundation, the better, because then it's much easier to maintain long term. You're right in that we do need to start at a very young age. However, the like you also said there, that we're living longer, but we're sicker, we're more out of shape and everything else. People, obesity rates are going up despite there's more gyms now more than ever. There are more trainers now more than ever. In Vancouver alone, we had one spin studio 15 years ago. Now there's hundreds, like I can't even count them all. And despite this explosion of health and fitness, we're sicker, we're more out of shape, we're more overweight, everything else, every single disease is on the rise. Why is that?
Yeah.
Right? And the interesting thing with our clients in particular, I had a trainer recently come up to me. He's like, our nutrition materials don't work anymore. And I'm like, what? I'm like, those things are like 10 years old. How can they not Human work drift. Anymore? And he's like, they don't understand. They can't read the first sentence. They don't understand the first paragraph. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, well, I got a client. He hasn't cooked a piece of protein in over 2 years.
Oh, right? Man.
They no longer own the pots and pans. Post-pandemic, the convenience factor, the Uber Eats, the fact that people don't even cook, right? So we might have all this information in the world, but what's actually going on? What's actually happening, right? It's two different things. And what I find so ironic is that we think we're going forwards, but in all actual reality, we're going backwards. If I have to dumb down my learning materials, my nutritional materials for our clients, we're not going forwards. And I sigh with this for a very long time because it was really disturbing to me. And what is going on here? And then I realized several things have happened over the years. And I remember very distinctly when the information overload first presented itself as a major challenge with our clients. And it was when, again, once upon a time, we were a trusted source of information for our clients. It was us, a magazine, and the newspaper. That was it.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe the television. But in comes the internet, and suddenly there was another authority. There was another source of information. There was conflicting information, and we knew immediately, and we saw the confusion start to take hold of our clients, and we said, oh, this is going to be a big problem. And fast forward 10 or 15 years later, and it is. And the damage
information,
is done.
An information overwhelm problem that's and a convenience problem. You put those two things together, and you have people that are like, I don't want to know. I don't want to make decisions, and I can just push a button and get poor decisions delivered to my door.
You got it. That's where we are at, Richard.
Yeah. It cracks me up a little bit when you're talking about like not knowing how to cook protein, because the other day was the first day that or the first time that I ever learned how to baste a steak. And the only reason I bring that up is my wife and I are both alongside of the fitness journey for myself has been really, really learning how to cook, and not just cook, but like blow people's socks off with food, like high level cooking and plating and like learning how to infuse foods and like really learn how to treat food well, because it becomes like a whole positive experience for yourself and your family and your kids and your friends. And you're right. It's the whole other side of the thing. Like your nutrition is a massive percentage of your fitness. And I know for me, part of that was like cooking needed to be something that was fun and exciting for me. And so I started like learning the craft alongside learning the fitness, because I was like, if I don't learn how to cook, it doesn't matter what I do from a fitness workout standpoint.
The most important piece of furniture you have in your home is your table, right? And the most important equipment you've got is all those tools in the kitchen. So if you've got an incomplete kitchen, you never prioritize or make time to sit at the dinner table and enjoy a meal with your family. Like what are we talking about? We're going to get fit and healthy? Like how? Like what are we, you know, like how, explain to me how that's going to work, because clearly it's not, right? And everyone, it's all over the place. Like, we take clients' phones, for example, and everyone's fitness program is a couple of random videos from this influencer and a couple of random recipes from over here and a couple of random things over there. And, oh, now I'm going to hire a trainer twice a week. And, oh, you know, maybe I'll drop in and do a class. And this is my plan, right? This is my program. This is my plan. And this is how I'm going to get fit and healthy. Well, that doesn't work. And we do need fitness professionals out there. We do need heroes out there that can essentially take these people and say, no, we're going to take all that and we're going to throw it in the trash. And here's what we're going to do, right? Based on my knowledge, my experience, you're going to listen to me. I'm going to guide you and we're going to make some things happen. That's what we're up against.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I know, like, one of the things that's really pertinent right now, and I'm not sure if it is as common in Canada as in the US right now, but we're having like a major recession where, you know, food prices are going through the roof and like the cost of everything are like insane. And, you know, combine that all together with the convenience of all the other stuff. And it's fascinating to me. My wife feeds a family of six on a budget of less than $800 a month. And it's all home from scratch cooking. Like, we make everything from scratch. And so part of that was like just building the skills in the kitchen, but like, it's cheaper and it's healthier and it helps, like, it sets us up for all the fitness goals that we have. And man, yeah, learning how to take care of your kitchen table and your kitchen tools has been a major boon for our family.
It's so important. And you're right, you do save money. And cost, like, Canada is, honestly, I think the living expenses here is even more. I think we're getting gouged everywhere from, and so the cost of living is going up, which is why people are more ready and willing to learn this stuff, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, we got to learn how to shop. We got to learn how to cook. We got to learn how to do these things. And maybe I got to learn how to do this gym thing myself now. And I think overall, that's going to be a positive in the long run for us. But when it comes to that stuff, you know, there's also a way to do that as well. Like, you got to find a local farmer's market. You got to source all this stuff. You know, we haven't stepped foot in a grocery store in I don't know how long. Like, you got to go to the butcher, you got to source all this good quality stuff, and then you got to learn how to cook it.
Yeah.
I guess on one hand, it's a lot of work, but we got to get back to basics.
Yeah. We got to get closer to our food. We got to get closer to our bodies. We got to get closer to what we're doing. And man, I know it's interesting. I know I've got a book sitting on my shelf here from Alex Hormozi, and I know one of his first companies was a gym launch. Similar sort of vein what you are. And I know, like, reading through his book on marketing, he was talking about, like, I had to learn what the problems my customers had. And he's like, fitness is only one of them. The other one was like, how do I make food? Right. And how do I grocery shop if I'm going to make food? And then, like, how do I cook that food? Right. Cause they're like, if nutrition is, you know, 80% of the battle for fitness, he's like, I realized as a trainer, I had to have solutions for those. And you realize that, like, what you guys are talking about, if you can successfully create the demand for fitness, it will create the demand for the food. It'll create the demand for the farmers markets. It'll create the demand for the kitchen stuff, because it's all going to start with, do we actually want to be fit and young forever as a species, right? Do we want to survive all of this? And it's going to start with that fitness and the cooking and the food and, like, getting closer to our food, I think.
That is an interesting question. Yeah, absolutely. Do we even want to in the first place? You know, that question actually has to be asked. Like, you have to really get down to, why does a person want to do this? And once upon a time, I used to interview clients. And, you know, of the five clients I interviewed, I maybe took on two, right? It's like, are you willing to give up alcohol? Are you ready to make these lifestyle changes? And sometimes they get upset because they're like, well, they wanted to get started, but more often than not, they would thank me and say, you know what, you're right. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to make these changes. I'm not ready to start, but I know where to come once I am. And that's another thing I think is a lot of health coaches were afraid to do. And we're more focused on, like, wanting to become friends with our clients than anything else. And I think it's important that we develop the right tools and systems, one of which was a point system that I developed. It's all habitual, habit, lifestyle based, but it basically awards points. I gamified it for sleep, sitting, standing, walking, and it ties in your food intake along with your activity in relation to one another. So that's what makes this system very unique. In fact, it's actually a mathematical formula for weight loss, and it's transformed hundreds of lives, stripped tens of thousands of unhealthy pounds, a proven system I've been using for 10 years. It's the foundation of the gyms that we have today, is we put all of our clients on this point system, this journaling point system. So,
and it just sort of covers all of the aspects of, you know, food and walking and sleeping. I imagine hydration, that kind of stuff.
Correct. That is correct. And we distill it down. It's interesting. So every day gets a point, a score out of 10. And because each day gets a score, each week can have a score. And so now you take something as complex as all of these weekly nutritional and activity habits, and you distill it into one number. So it's very efficient as a trainer, where we can just tell our clients, okay, you're busy, you're going to be away this weekend, the in-laws are in town, let's aim for 52 points. And based off that one number, you've just coached your client on every single habitual habit they need to have planned and figured out for that week. And the important thing with this stuff is that the client's wheels are turning. Everyone always seeks out the easiest thing, right? Where they want, give me the recipes. I want to be told what to eat, you know, spell it all out for me. And unless the client is the one figuring out, okay, I got to get 9 points today. That means I need to pack this snack. I need to eat it at this time. I need to make sure that my standing and walking ratios are on. I'm going to walk to this meeting. Unless the person is actually figuring this stuff out themselves, then there'll be no change, because the moment they stop that program, that 70, that whatever that program may be, they're right back to square zero.
You're connecting their actions, like the decisions they make, to the outcomes is what you're doing, right? So like the decisions they make day to day, am I walking to this meeting or am I taking the Uber? Am I eating this snack or am I getting the Uber Eats, right? Like you're connecting the decisions they make to the outcome they want to get, which is really powerful.
It's very powerful. It's the only thing in my experience that will work. And once the client understands it, they love it. And the fact they earn points and everything else, you know, it can become a lot of fun and it rewires their brains effectively. And that's what needs to happen at the end of the day.
Yeah. So I want to take a few minutes. I know this isn't really in my questions that I normally ask, but I think this is just a really important topic. And I want to talk about some of the benefits that come on the other side of getting fit. Right. And like, and not just the I've got muscles benefits, but the whole lifestyle change that you're talking about of owning your own health and owning the I know how to sleep. I know how to make my own food. I know how to basically run all the things that make this engine work. And there's a lot of benefits that come with that. I'm just curious, as a trainer, what are some of those things that you really call out for people? Because it can change everything in your life. I know it has for me.
Yeah, it's the foundation. I always look at it as a deck of cards. And if you take that fitness, nutrition out of there, the whole deck of cards just comes crashing down. And it's not like a person's just going to wake up and start craving salad, or, you know, I'm going to wake up and run a marathon, or I'm going to drink more water. Like, you need to create a stimulus. So that activity is super important for any kind of change to happen in any area of life. And it will spill into every single facet. Like, everything you overcome in that gym physically, it's going to help you take on other challenges in your life. So if it's something where, like, for example, if you've got addiction, right? Well, here's a healthy addiction that you can swap out those other addictions for. You're going to get that hit, that adrenaline. Like, a lot of very consistent gym goers are because they battle with other things. And it's the gym that helps them get those hits and overcome some of those other addictions. And overall, it just brings out a better version of ourselves, right? Like, I know myself, if I just sat at home and I didn't take care of myself, it would not be good for me or for anyone around me.
Yeah.
Right. And so what fitness does for me, that's why it's a non-negotiable. Like, for me, that's why I have to do it, because it's, again, who I am, who I want to be. Right.
Yeah.
And so fitness will impact every single area of your life. It's foundational. We have to do it. Ideally, connect with something that you enjoy doing, like a passion. Like, you guys have connected with martial arts. I connected with the dirt biking. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the gym pumping weights, but it does need to be physical enough where it creates some type of internal adaption in your body. Like, it needs to be strenuous enough that your body needs to adapt to meet that imposed stressor demand. So if it's the higher intensity, the quieter the mind, if it's not challenging enough, it's not going to change anything. That's called moving, right? And unfortunately, we see a lot of that in the gym, but it requires intensity.
Yeah. And I know for me, just, you know, give the audience a couple of things that I've noticed benefits in my life. Cause I started, you know, really focusing on my fitness like 2019. So right before the pandemic, and did all sorts of things, started working with a functional medicine doctor and like learned how to do some like liver cleanse and like just get my body to the right spot. And then started working on building muscle. Cause I was the chronically scrawny kid, right? That like I was 119 pounds until 2019 when I was like 35. Right. Yeah. And so like I could never put on weight for anything. And, you know, you hit your mid 30s and it was like you just see a lot of changes in your life if you're not fit, if you haven't taken care of your body the way that you should. And I hadn't. Mm-hmm. Right. I accidentally healthy kind of thing, but not, you know, not at my highest and best. And I have noticed a lot of things shift. So like a couple of things, I used to have insomnia, like take me forever to fall asleep. I couldn't fall asleep. Now I sleep 8 to 10 hours every single night. No problem. I can fall asleep whenever I want, which is like, it took a few years to do that, but it, like there was a major shift there. The ability to shift focus from work to home, to school, to the other things that we do, like to the play, like you're just the mental clarity to be able to shift focus is dramatically improved over the last several years. My ability for ideation, right? We've 8x'd our company over the last couple of years, right? Since starting to focus on my fitness, which is crazy. Like we went from in 2019, I had 2 employees. We have 18 employees now, right? And like, it's nuts. And like, those are just surface level things, but also like your ability in your body to do things changes, right? Like, we're, you know, of course we're doing the martial arts now, but like my son and I, you know, we've learned to windsurf. We're learning, you know, we hiked 14 miles down the Zion Canyon, up, you know, up the Narrows, that kind of stuff. And we do that kind of stuff all the time where we're, you know, we're hiking and we're biking and we're water skiing and like we're learning to wakeboard. And like, you have the fitness to do the things that you want, to actually like live this life, to play, to have that sort of joy and fun that comes out of like, why are we living anyways? Like, what's the point, right? You gotta actually like do something other than watch Netflix. And the other one that was, you know, I know it's real important for us guys in our 30s is you start to see that drop in testosterone that they say is natural. It doesn't have to be natural, but I saw it happening. And, you know, the commiserate like drop in sex drive and all that stuff that happened, and started working on the fitness and getting all that and getting the nutrition right, complete 180 degree change in how all of the things function and how your testosterone levels change because you're starting to work everything. Like the benefits are just nuts. And I almost, looking back 5 years ago, I'm like, why wasn't I doing this in my 20s?
Yeah, that's some really, really good insights. And you're right. Like, it, you know, it makes me think we're all capable of depression. We're all capable of mental health issues. We're all capable of those things. Like all of us, it can happen to absolutely any one of us, but we're equally capable to, for all these amazing adaptions to happen as well, right? Like whether it be, and if we don't, if what I find interesting is we all need to more or less do the exact same thing. So on one hand, we can make this thing super complicated. On the other hand, it's like, look, eat right, sleep, do all these things. And if we don't, then she's going to suffer with this problem. He's going to suffer with that problem. And our bodies will all respond differently if we don't do the things that we need to do. But they're all completely treatable, reversible, and then can help us live a much more rich, experienced, filled life. I think you're right. Like, but why wouldn't we? I don't know. Maybe people don't know where to start, right? They are overcome with all these things. And again, I always just come back to, it's not a thinking thing, it's a doing thing. And people love to overthink the fitness thing. There was a guy who did a study. He found the minimal amount of activity required to see change. And what he found in this study was 1 minute per week. If we do 1 minute per week, we will see improvement. And so, like, and the time that it takes for you to like think about all the reasons why you can't do it, like just 1 minute.
Get up, right? And do one push-up, 30 seconds down, 30 seconds up once a week. It'll change your life.
That's right. That's right.
What's funny about that is one of our previous guests, if you're on here looking for it, Lucas Root talks about this. He was talking about like, he's like, if you want to like get started on a fitness game, and he actually runs this as a fitness program for himself. He's like, he does 1 minute long push-up every day, 30 seconds down, awesome. 30 seconds up. And he's like, if I do nothing else, I've done that. It takes me a minute and it keeps him fit. But it's just one thing.
It reminds me of the old school dad workout. Like, you know, I just remember like dads, like wake up in the morning, they just do some push-ups, you know, you do some sit-ups, like every morning you just wake up and you do a push-up. Like, I think that's awesome. And that's a simple, that's as, you know, again, that's as simple as this thing can get, right? It can be really easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now a quick word from our show's sponsor. Hey there, fellow podcaster. Having a weekly audio and video show on all the major online networks that builds your brand, creates fame, and drives sales for your business doesn't have to be hard. I know it feels that way because you've tried managing your show internally and realize how resource intensive it can be. You felt the pain of pouring 8 to 10 hours of work into just getting 1 hour of content published and promoted all over the place. You see the drain on your resources, but you do it anyways because you know how powerful it is. Heck, you've probably even tried some of those automated solutions and ended up with stuff that makes your brand look cheesy and cheap. That's not helping grow your business. Don't give up though. The struggle ends now. Introducing Push Button Podcasts, a done-for-you service that will help you get your show out every single week without you lifting a finger after you've pushed that stop record button. We handle everything else: uploading, editing, transcribing, writing, research, graphics, publication, and promotion, all done by real humans who know, understand, and care about your brand almost as much as you do. Empowered by our own proprietary technology, our team will let you get back to doing what you love while we handle the rest. Check us out at pushbuttonpodcast.com/hero for 10% off the lifetime of your service with us, and see the power of having an audio and video podcast growing and driving micro celebrity status and business in your niche without you having to lift more than a finger to push that stop record button. Again, that's pushbuttonpodcast.com/hero. See you there. And now, back to the Hero Show.
So I think that brings me to the last question I want to ask you here, which is about your guiding principles, right? One of the things that makes heroes heroic is that they live by a code. For instance, Batman never kills his enemies. He only ever brings them to Arkham Asylum. So as we wrap up the interview, and I talk about the top one, maybe two principles that you use regularly in your life, maybe something that you wish you knew when you first started out on your own entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, I view them as core values. So I think everyone, especially as we age, we can't be about everything. We actually need to like really figure out, this is what I'm about, these are my non-negotiables, and those start to solidify with time. But some of the core values that we've implemented in our organization, like one was care, but it's the measure of care. So of course everyone cares, but you know, how much do you care? Like, what are you willing to do? Like, what do you, you know, are you willing to visit people in the hospital? Do you go to funerals? Are you active in your community? Like, do you actually care? Like, it's all fine and dandy to say or think, but it's another thing to, I guess, act on. And so I think care is something that I'm really about. And again, it's about the measure of that word.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I value is effectiveness. And that's something that, as a core value, again, it's, insanity can set in real quick, where you've said something several times, you've done something several times, you've tried something several times. And effectiveness is where, you know, it's not always sexy, it's not always by the book, it's not always, but it can be quite often unorthodox or outside of the box, but it's effective. And I think that that is something that we need to bring back, and it is how can we be effective in anything that we do, and by default we'll become very efficient.
I really love the whole measure of care thing. It's one of the things that I am, you know, I've been talking a lot about in just my own community circles, realizing that there is, and maybe it's just my age and like where I'm at in my community, is you realize that there's a point in time where like you have a responsibility to your community, whether that's like as a father or as someone who's just showing up for your friends or showing up for the people that are around you. And, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, I'll pray for you or whatever, you know, insert, you know, meaningless gesture here, right? Versus like, hey, your friend's struggling, you show up, right? How can I like actually show for you? Instead of, and like, there's an interesting sort of thing in that whole measure of care where we often will ask someone who we see in need and be like, how can I help you? And when someone is in that sort of need space, you have just placed another burden on them for them to figure out how you can help them. And I think part of that measure of care, at least in my life, has been figuring out how to see someone is in need and then come and show up and help them with that without any sort of like ask or interaction for it. Just be like, nope, I see you need this here. This is what I'm doing for you. And like, I think that really fits into that whole like measure of care. And it's something that I've been trying to figure out how we add more of that into our life and build that into like our values as a company and our values as a family. So I love that a lot.
That's very cool. And it's so easy. Once you tap into it, you realize just how easy it is. Like, we do these free or by donation community classes. We've been hosting them for many, many years at our facilities. And so we invite the local community. Because somebody asked me one day, oh, you're a gym owner. Like, what do you do for the community? I'm like, well, we got a newsletter. I'm like, oh, shoot, we got to figure this out. So that's actually why we're here. Our purpose, go figure. And so we have homeless people, every single thing under the sun have attended these free or by donation community classes. All the money raised and food gets donated back to the local community, local needs and all of that. Of course, there's all this stuff, but we do tons of charitable work. And service is not, you know, serving is not selfless by any measure. You know, once you start helping people, you very quickly realize your problems, your things are very, very small. And you very quickly realize everything that you've got to be grateful for. And we also support local churches. We've got one in Edmonton, actually, where our church is, that we support there. And they of course have a local pantries where they feed people and clothe people. And so we support all of that. And honestly, it's so easy. Like, it takes almost no work, no effort whatsoever. And I think that we've kind of lost that as well, right? Is how do we like to think, oh, well, like, let's appoint this politician or
outsource our care to the government or the politicians.
Yeah. And I think as men, like, when I honestly, Richard, when I look at a big gym of guys lifting all this stuff and flexing the mirror, I say, what a waste of energy. You know, these guys could be like planting gardens. They could be helping, you know, landscape, you know, elderly women's homes. And instead they're taking pictures of themselves, you know, in the mirror. It's such a waste of, I think, what men are built to do, right? Like, why do we have these muscles in the first place? Is it to help people?
It's to carry other people's weight.
That's a good one.
Yeah. To carry their weight for them.
Yeah.
Lift them up.
Exactly. Right. And we've got all this energy and we're just wasting, especially with the youth too. They've got all this energy. They're not doing anything with it.
Yeah. Well, measure of care, I think, is a fantastic core value to run your life and your company by. And I think that's a great place to sort of wrap our interview. I do wrap all of our interviews with something I call the Heroes Challenge. And basically, it's a simple challenge. We do this to get access to stories that we might not otherwise find on our own. So the question is simple. Do you have someone in your life or in your network that you think has a cool entrepreneurial story? Who are they? First names are fine. And why do you think they should come share their story with us here on the Hero Show?
I'm going to nominate my mentor, one of my mentors. So his name is Roger Proctor, and he's a self-made guy as well. He moved from east to west like myself, and he's got such an interesting story. He now owns a jet. He does all these incredible things. I think he'd be an awesome, interesting host to have, a very dynamic guest to have on your show.
Awesome. Well, we'll reach out and maybe see if we can get him to come on the show. They don't always say yes, but when they do, we sometimes get really cool stories out of it. So
awesome.
You know, in comic books, there's always the crowd of people at the end who are cheering and clapping for the acts of heroism. So our analogous to that, as we close up the interview, is I want to know, where can people find you if they want your help? Where can they light up the bat signal and say, hey, Jesse, I'd love to become a personal trainer. I'd love to get trained by one of your trainers. And more importantly than where, are who are the types of people that should reach out, the ones that should be lighting up the bat signal and asking for your help?
That's awesome, Richard. Yeah, I think anyone that, you know, if they've listened to this talk and it's invoked and they feel something in them, they know they've got that inner confidence that they're like, you know what, I can do this. I might not look it yet. I might not have all the answers yet, but I know deep down that I want to become a personal trainer. I want to help, or I'm ready to make a change and get fit. Then absolutely reach out. And the best way to do that would just be to go to npta.ca. If you're looking to become a trainer or get certified or empower yourself and wanting to take on that hero role within your society, within your community. And then if you're a client who's ready to make a change, then we've got fitintegrated.ca, where you can get access to online trainers, in-person trainers, physiotherapists, RMTs, all the rest of it. Me personally, if somebody wants to come out and reach out to me for mentorship, for help, for support, guidance or anything like that, then we've got my Instagram account. That's Jesse Official. I believe it's Jesse Official something or other. There's also Jesse.
We can get it in the description in the below thing. You can send it to us afterwards.
Yeah, thanks. It's a new thing that we're doing. But yeah, you know, now that I am making myself more accessible to people if they want to reach out to me directly.
Awesome. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story and sharing what you guys are doing over at Fin Integrated and NPTA. Wow, NPTA, I can say that. It sounds like you guys are on a really cool mission that I think is going to be very helpful for a lot of people. And I really hope you do hit that goal of, you know, infecting a million lives in Canada and hopefully beyond, right? And you start, you know, expanding your programs in other countries and whatnot. Mike, last question for you. Do you have any final words of wisdom for my audience before you hit this stop record button?
Do that push-up today. 30 seconds down, 30 seconds up. You can do it from the knees or from your feet, but let's get a push-up in today.
Yeah, well, they said 1 minute a week. That's all it takes, right? You'll see a little bit of change, and you see a little bit, you can start moving on. Jesse, thank you so much for sharing your story today. Appreciate it.
Likewise. Thanks for your help, Rich.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Hero Show, where we work to shift the cultural narrative around entrepreneurship and celebrate the heropreneurs who make our world a better place. Don't forget to visit our website at theheroshow.tv, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you'll never miss an episode. If you found value in our show, we'd truly appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or better yet, share it with a friend to help us spread the message of entrepreneurship as a force for good. Curious to learn more about the stories and insights of these incredible heropreneurs? Check out our in-depth interviews and resources on our website. Together, let's support and inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs as they embark on their own heroic journeys. Join us again next week for another episode of The Hero Show, where we'll continue to explore the world of heropreneurs, their superpowers, and the positive impact they bring to our lives. Until then, stay heroic.